to the Young and the Wrestlers, the Pop Culturist Wrestling Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Ryan Betson, alongside, for the first time in what feels like forever,
it's Calista!
Very nice.
I'm Jen!
Yeah, we're back! It fucking feels good. It feels so good to be back. As we said, this is our wrestling podcast, where Jem and I come together and just mark out after a week's worth of AEW.
Nice.
That's literally
very
the plan. It's about as much time as we put into it. So this ideally will come out every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. on your podcast services, 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you want to join us live, you can. Twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where you can watch us record the show live. We can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can. Tell your friends, tell your family about this wrestling pod. If you want to support us financially, you can play Patreon, as well as the shop. What's it called? Popculturist.com/shop. We can buy shirts, other assorted shit with our logos on it. My momentum is all kinds of shot, because as I'm doing that, in comes Jay, and they have very kindly gifted two subs, one to Buddy Watson, one to Smitty79. Thank you so much, Jay. Thank you.
Jay.
Actual sweetheart. But yeah, no, after the longest time, we are back, and it feels so good to be back. We'll get into it. Like, so look, if anyone's watching the video, if you've seen the updated graphics on your podcast feed, we ain't tricking you. We have changed almost everything that we do with this show. Originally, this show was designed to be a WWE-centered show, because that's what Jem and I were watching at the time. We really wanted to have fun with the soap opera storytelling that WWE was doing, but it just... we couldn't keep up with it. We just couldn't couldn't make ourselves watch the shows, because WWE had just taken a different path. That even we, as two individuals that tried to take the fun and take the positives out of it all, even we couldn't at certain points. So in the time we've been away, you know, more people have been released, and you know, the company continues to be gross, and then the product is just bad. So Jem and I made the call. We're like, that's not doing it. We're not enjoying it anymore. And that's what this is supposed to be. This is supposed to be fun. It's not about numbers. It's not about reach. It's not about growth. It's about Jem and I getting together, having fun, and marking out. So that is the plan. That is what we're doing. Yeah. And right now, Jem and I are fucking boners. Absolute boners for AEW. And we have been for a while. So this isn't a decision that we made lightly.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. That was exactly what I was about to say, is this has been something that's brewing for a little while. The more we've been expanding our knowledge on the wrestling scene, not just in your bigger name companies, but through the indies and stuff as well. You know, AEW just has the spotlight at the moment, and it's becoming more and more entertaining, and there's more and more drawing us in. And you know, even like, they've got storylines that are now 2 years old that are still not stale. Like, it's, you know, they're just really amazing at what they do. And it just makes you so excited for a product. It's just delivering everything you want and then some.
And as I said, it's not as if we've just started watching AEW either. Both Jem and I have been watching since day one of Dynamite. I've seen every pay-per-view, because you know I normally watch them together. We've seen all the pay-per-views in that time. It's just a decision that we're looking back. We're like, how are we going to make this work? Because originally our plans for what this show would be was sort of, you know, in reliant on it being relevant, hitting a certain day, making sure we cover X shows. That none of that pressure is there anymore. Just like everyone else, all the performers, all the wrestlers that have left WWE, they're like, it wasn't fun anymore. We're in the same boat, just covering it. Yeah. So now we're like, we're just going to do it at our pace. We're going to do it fun. Hey, by the time this goes up, fucking A Dynamite comes out tomorrow. We don't care. We want to talk about what happened the last week. We want to talk about Dynamite and Rampage and Being the Elite. And if we happen to catch, you know, Dark or whatever, we just want to have fun with it. And that's where we're returning. So also a big thank you to Mad Dog for the raid with the Party of 11. Mad Dog, owner of TCW, where I believe the Mullet and I are current tag team champions.
Killing it.
So look, even though some things change, you should feel comfort in knowing that some things never change. And one of those things is that the Mullet and I are destined to be TCW Tag Team Champions. How you been, man?
Good, man, good. Obviously, it's been a crazy time being in Melbourne. We have been locked down like you would not believe. I really did start to get a bit bummed out there because I started to really
Nice.
lose that passion and enjoyment in wrestling until I really started to focus on AEW and it all came flooding back. And I haven't felt so inspired and so moved and so emotional by a pay-per-view since I was a kid. This was absolutely something else. And I said straight away, I was like, Betson, we're reviewing this because I'm so excited about it that I just have to talk about it.
Yeah, so what we're doing today, we're going to kick things off with AEW's All Out. It took place yesterday at time of recording. It was just so we watched it here on the Discords. Oh, you're not on Discords, you're on Twitch or on podcast services. Jim and I are talking through Discord. So we're watching it on Discord with a couple of our friends through the independent wrestling scene. So that was fun, and it adds a whole different energy. Like, viewing parties are always a thing. So, you know, friend of the show, Craig, the Mullet, my tag team partner, he and I we've been watching it together near on every week through this entire year's worth of lockdown. And we did it last year as well. It's been so uplifting and rewarding and enjoyable. And it's just like, it ticks every possible fucking box that AEW has this year. And I think that this pay-per-view alone is that amalgamation of everything that AEW is trying to be. It's great wrestling. It's great storytelling. It's booking that works. It's the introduction of individuals that you care about and you know are going to be treated well and you know that are going to do well. And that's a big part of it. So let's kick it off. We're gonna play match by match as the card would. It's just kind of fast and loose. There's no scoring. There's no nothing like that. You know, it's just... But yeah. So we'll jump in the chat first before we kick in the show because the chat's going off is amazing. Kit108, they've jumped in and goes, "You guys are all elite, baby." That's right. We are all elite now.
Baby.
And happy to be.
Oh, yeah. Quattrists are all elite.
That's right. Draws the jumps in and goes, "It's why I watch wrestling, to chase how I felt when I first started watching wrestling when my belief was suspended."
Yeah.
And this is something that I want to bring up as well, because for those that know, like, I'm new to the wrestling scene. Like, I started watching in about 2018 around the Super Showdown. That's the Melbourne show, right, for WWE. And mostly on the idea of, this will be silly, this will be fun. And then I fell in love because wrestling was silly and it was fun to watch. And my tastes have certainly grown and altered in that time. Because as I've learned more about wrestling in terms of how it works, how to tell a story in the ring, how to tell a story in promos that are effective, that land, that work, my taste has grown. And I think that's another reason why we've stepped away from WWE again. Is because it's like they're not respecting the time. Like, for those that are invested, like, I've become a pretty hard fan in the last 3 years, and it wasn't paying off. But with here, look, admittedly, as I said, I've been watching AEW since day one. However, I'd have to admit, there were times where it wasn't hitting me because I wasn't there yet. Does that make sense? Because the way AEW tells their stories is very different to how WWE does, and it was taking me a while to get there to learn how they do their show, and I'm so glad I finally got there.
Yeah, and for me, I think there was an extra incitement in it of seeing a lot of what I'm used to and wrestling from back in my day when I was all about it, and seeing me witnessing CM Punk again versus you witnessing CM Punk for the first time, it was so fascinating to be involved in that that moment and see your reaction compared to mine and that sort of stuff. It was so cool.
Yeah. Buddy in the chat also adds, "I love seeing people who love wrestling, because a lot of people who watch don't, and it never has to be like that." And that's totally true. And that's what happened. We were watching, you know, Raw and SmackDown week in, week out, almost out of obligation. And like, there were times I'd be sitting here in this room watching it and be like, the fuck am I doing? Why am I wasting my Tuesday with this? What the fuck is wrong with me?
And like, I'm pretty sure at one point I said to you, this feels like a chore.
It does. It feels like a job. And that's where it's not fun anymore. Where like, I love this. And like, I love wrestling. And like, wrestling has been, I've talked about how it has been a mental health thing for me. Like, it's been my savior. It has been something that allows me to escape and have a really good time and just enjoy, but also get like good storytelling and good emotions and feel things. And like, and then it was just making me mad. So it's doing the exact opposite of what it should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been so good to be able to reposition that and look at it from a different way, which is good.
In the words of CM Punk, you can't heal in the place that made you sick.
Yes, exactly. And there's a little, there's some weird symmetry. It's very interesting. Mm-hmm. Richie 316, I'm a big fan of wrestling. I'm 21 and I was 8 when I watched for the first time and I will never stop. Wrestling lives in me.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's such a good sentence. Wrestling lives in me.
Yeah.
That's so good.
That is a really good sentence.
That's very, very cool. No, I agree with that entirely. And then Jacob Spy Willow says, think All Out was the first time I've popped off in a long time. Now, I'm a big empathetic mark, right? So I pop at most things. Like if it gets me going, I just buzz off the energy of the room and you know what I mean? It's always good.
Oh, so many moments for that.
Especially in this show, which we will get to now. There was the buy-in match. That was the kickoff show. So, once again, our years of watching WWE has told us the kickoff shows don't matter. Fuck off, they don't matter.
This is amazing.
What they did is they had the Best Friends and the Jurassic Express versus the Hardy Family Office. And it was good shit, man. Like, I love Jurassic Express. Of course, I love the fucking Best Friends. So I knew exactly where my heart lied here. And I was just like, this is what I want. You know what I mean? And even though I'm not entirely a big fan of the HFO, I feel like they're just kind of throwing people in there that don't really have anything else to go with them. It just kind of worked. But I love the idea of just, you know, Matt Hardy just buying off people to be in his faction.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun. But what did you think of this?
Look, I think the best part of this, like, I think, you know, for me, it was as they were walking out and Orange Cassidy grabbed the sign that says Orange Cassidy is okay.
Yes.
That was just perfect. Overall, this was one hell of a match. I mean, I'm a little bit disconnected from this because much like you are, I'm not too phased about the Hardy Family Office. But overall, like, it was one of a hell of a way to start a show. Like, I wasn't sure what I was getting into and I was still popping at every spot that happened. It was so good. It was the perfect way to lead into a main pay-per-view. It was such a good match.
I had an idea of what I wanted to see. I wanted to see someone just get fucked up with that Thoracic Express, which is the new finisher from Jurassic Express, which is, so the individual gets put on Luchasaurus's shoulders. He just throws him just fucking, it's brilliant. It's so good. I absolutely love it. So of course it's essentially a heels versus faces, and the faces fucking won, and the crowd went erupted, and everyone felt happy and excited because that's the way it fucking should be. I know, everything about it was just fantastic.
It was just so good. It was the perfect opening. Like, I'm shocked it wasn't all just main card. Like, that was just beautiful.
Yeah, and then of course at the end it did end with the return of the Butcher, who has been off injured. He comes in, they all just lie the beat down and everything for a little while, which is I never get mad at a beat down because it just means that more cool stuff's happening, and
exactly it. So the main, he's been off for a while.
I got hurt. I don't know how he got where he got hurt or how he got hurt, but he didn't, and he's bounced off he certainly hadn't gone on tour for every time I die, because no one can do shit right now.
Yeah, exactly right.
Next up, to start off the main card was a match. I'm excited for every match in this fucking card. So I'm not going to preface it by saying this was one I was really excited about, because the answer is all of them. It was the AEW TNT Championship. Miro, the current champion, versus Eddie Kingston, Gem. How are you? Because once again, we're gonna have to establish where we feel about each of these performers as well. How are you about Miro? How are you about Eddie? How did it feel going into this?
Look, it's tricky because I know that we're supposed to not like Miro, but I like Miro. Like, Miro's doing Miro so perfectly well, and Eddie Kingston's just Eddie Kingston. You can't not like the guy. Especially when he's got a shirt within 24 hours that says Redeem These Nuts on it. But yeah, I was really torn. I think for me, it was a case of I wanted Eddie Kingston to win, but realistically, there's no way that Miro's letting go of that title anytime soon.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like I'm really enjoying both of these. I enjoy Eddie more. I think he's great in the ring. He's brilliant on the mic. He's charming as fuck. And I would love nothing more for them to him to be having that TNT title, especially off the back of Jon Moxley just winning the GCW title.
Yeah.
I would love to see a shot of the two of them holding belts together. Like
that's
that,
true.
That would have just popped my little heart, you know?
Yeah.
So, but I am really enjoying Miro. Like Miro, the best man. I didn't really feel, but Miro the Redeemer, I do love.
Yeah.
I love the whole, I love how every promo is just literally, Jesus is a fan of me and I like to fuck my wife. And like, that is every promo. It's beautiful because even though I see it coming, I can't complain. it's
you're like anticipating it like a giddy kid. You're like, come on, it's coming, let's go.
When's he gonna talk about his wife? I understand Jesus is a fan, but what are you gonna do?
Nothing sus, I swear.
No, but like it was great. And this match was exceptional as well. It was hard hitting. You know, it was mentioned in the chat, like Miro's chest was just fucking purple.
Oh, he was welted.
Yeah, they did those like I don't know what they're called, but like a machine gun chop. I think I've no idea what the actual expression is. But it's just like bang, 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 and it just like clearly blows him up. It was it was hard. But
It
went exactly as I expected. It was Miro retained. It was from a submission from memory.
Mm-hmm. I believe right. So.
But once again, Eddie Kingston didn't. No, it was by pinfall. Sorry. Oh, it was pinfall. That's right, because there was the corner spot. So the buckle cover came off at some point. The ref was busy being distracted. Really should have got the three count. But gave Miro enough time to get his shit together, get up. As Eddie was like, the fuck, dude? Donkey kicked in the ball bag, which I'm always a sucker for a good dick kick. And then what left to a series of boots to the face to a pinfall. So part of me thinks we're getting this again. Part of me hopes we get to see this again. I don't know when, because thankfully, unlike the other promotion, they make it worth it. They hold that shit. We ain't gonna see a rematch on Dynamite or Rampage. It'll take some time, but we'll see it, and it'll fucking be worth it, and it'll pay off, which is what I'm excited for. And Kit in the chat says the nuts redeemed. The nuts were redeemed. Those nuts certainly were redeemed. But what will happen? And it's the exact same. So for those that don't know, I also appeared on a friend of our show, Radio Watson, to review all AEW's All Out as well. And by the end of that show, I had ran out of adjectives on how to explain how happy and good all these matches were. And I'm feeling going to do the same thing here. Like, there's only so many ways I can say I loved it. There's only so many ways I can say it was good. There's only so many ways I can say it's amazing. So expect some repetition in that sense. But no, it was absolutely dope. I just enjoyed myself all the way through it. And of course, speaking of redeeming, the Mullet Show comes in, redeems a tier one sub for his 42nd month in a row with just redeemed these nuts.
Holy wow.
What an absolute
redeemed
legend.
Redeemed these nuts.
Next up was Jon Moxley versus Satoshi Kojima, an individual that I am not aware of. It's an NJPW talent. So someone that Moxley kind of wanted to fight but didn't want to fight. I don't know. I have no history with this guy. The only problem that I had is when I hear Kojima, I think of Hideo Kojima. I'm like, that's a match that I'd want to see. I'd see the fuck out of that match.
You know what I mean?
So obviously this dude is a dude, and he's like he's someone of note in New Japan. But to me, average. And you could tell because there was a very mixed reaction in the crowd. Some are like shitting themselves, where some are just, I yeah, man, like, you're really excited, and that's what counts. You know?
Yeah.
But it was a dope match regardless.
Sure was. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough when you're
It was
not
a real
like...
odd one. Like, it was a hell of a match, don't get me wrong, and I absolutely popped watching the entire thing. But there was really nothing for me going into this one either. It was a bit like, oh. But having Minoru Suzuki, was
Yeah,
it, that
so
came
yeah,
out?
Minoru Suzuki came out. So Mocked is going from fighting video game developers to fucking small cars. It's whatever Mocked needs to do to get that fucking intensity.
Adrenaline rush.
He needs, like, obviously he's needing the adrenaline rush. He's fucking rocking up at GCW, kicking Matt Cardona in the fucking face, taking his title, and now he's like, I need to fight small vehicles now. Like, that's the next step.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. Especially, like, I think for me, I was very much like, even though I didn't know too much of what was going on, watching the crowd pop made me pop. So it was a very, like you, very empathetic about it. So I was like, they're going mad, and I'm like, yeah.
But I'm excited that you're excited.
Go sports.
Yeah, woo, team.
Yeah.
But next
that
up.
That chicken and broccoli. Yeah.
Next up on the card was the AEW Women's Championship. Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, versus Chris Statlander.
Holy hell. This was one of the most, like, edge-gripping, like, oh, I can't even begin to describe how intense this match was. You can see it from both sides, like, with their wrestling. They were telling the story of how desperately they wanted to fight for this big old piece of metal. And it was phenomenal, because no matter what Britt Baker had in her back pocket, Chris Statlander was just, you know, she was straight on top of it, like, couldn't get past her. It was amazing, and I had at no stage at all did I have any idea who was going to take it. It was 50-50 the entire way, and it was phenomenal. It is a must watch. There is a reason that the AEW, like, women's division is
so
good.
It's getting so much better.
Yeah.
Like the division is getting so much better. Like, yeah, they had a really rocky start, but they are certainly getting there now, which is great. So I'm with you. I've obviously, look, fucking every guy, once again, every match on this card was fantastic. So I really enjoyed this. As I've said in Radio Watson as well, like, from a personal level and a professional level, I fucking love Chris Statlander. I look at her and I'm like, I love you. And then when she gets in the ring and starts wrestling, and I'm like, oh, I love you. Like, everything about her character, the way she works in the ring, it just ticks all these boxes for me. And
yeah,
definitely. I'm just enamored with her, right? And then, of course, Britt Baker, like, I'm a fan of now. I didn't really feel it at the start, but once that whole role model stuff kicked in and that real transition into the character that she is now is just fantastic.
Yeah, amazing.
Like, it's just hitting everything. You know, then the boop is fantastic, and then
amazing.
Stop booping yourself, you know, where it turns it around and get Brit.
Yeah, oh, that was great.
You know, and in here there was a lot of good, like, reversals. I'm a bit of a sucker for when it comes to, like, reversals. So there were great ways that Brit was able to transition from something into the lockjaw once you started making that.
Oh,
focus.
Yeah.
Especially heading into this match, like, Chris was looking super fucking strong. Over on Dynamite, so they were all about building her up from a strength-based perspective, because she is jacked.
It's
brilliant. So having it come in here, and there were moments where, like, I was confident the Brits wasn't losing it. Like, she's not there. Like, she's not there yet. She's not losing it. I do see it down the line, but it ain't there.
Yeah.
So it was fine by me. However, there were moments where I was like, oh, fucking Statlander might take it.
Yeah,
and
that's what I love,
because there are moments when, like, that disbelief is gone. Like,
yeah,
in terms of a predictive card, there are a lot of the results were predictable here, but that is not a bad thing. Like, there is predictable, like, this is the way it should go, so I think.
But
it
they
should
had
go.
You guessing.
But there's also, like, the bad predictable, which is like, I know it's gonna go. Why would I watch? Why would I care?
Yeah. This is like it was equal opportunity. Like, even though you knew how it was going to go, it was still like, oh, this could still be something, still said it was a 50-50.
The moments where it swings either way. And of course, as Buddy in the chat mentions, she does drop that Panama sunrise off the corner,
Oh.
which shout out to, Adam Cole, baby, which at the time I went, oh, Adam Cole, baby. And then I
Yeah.
forgot. And then it kind of went,
Yep.
and then I forgot because I was distracted by everything
Yep.
else again.
Yeah, because we all said it too. We're like, oh yeah, that Adam Cole, Adam Cole. Yeah,
Yeah, it's
yeah,
almost like I have this sweet ADHD brain that just forgets things. Because I was like, oh,
yeah.
Adam Cole, baby. And then I got distracted by something else. But yeah, so that was beautiful. But of course, as I said, she did and finish. She did retain. But it
Yeah.
was. At no point did Statlander look fucking bad. If anything, it made me really, really
Oh
excited for
no.
her to get away back there.
Yeah. That's what I call about it. Like, that's what's called a strong finish.
Yeah.
Like, even though Statlander lost, like, she lost looking like a beast. Yeah.
Next up, what I think may in fact be the best match of the night. The AEW Tag Team Championship, the Young Bucks, the Lucha Brothers, Steel Cage.
Holy hell. Wow.
See, I have such a soft spot for Lucha Brothers, right? I don't know what it is. Whether it's because they look fucking cool, whether it's because they wrestle like champions, I don't know what it is. The Bucks hit and miss on me sometimes, right? Like there are times when, like there's spot festy things when it gets a little too synchronized. I'm like, this isn't kind of what I want. However, this is what I want.
Oh
This is the
yeah.
box that I want to see because they were
Yeah.
brilliant. The Lucha Brothers,
Absolutely.
brilliant. Like everything about this was fantastic. Now, like if I because the one thing they kept referring to in the show was the ladder match from All Out last year.
Yes.
Exceptional.
Yeah.
This, like I don't know what it is, but they seem to just connect.
Yeah.
Like there is such
They got
a
real good chemistry.
Yeah, there's a fluidity, there's a chemistry, there is just a connection between the two teams that, like, I don't know. I can't explain it.
Yeah,
Like, because
it's
I am
something.
not smart enough and understanding of the business enough to know that. I just look at that and go, this just works. And this
Yeah.
is just front to back awesome.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And it was t telling the same story in a different way, and just the way they went about it as well, because you could tell that the Young Bucks weren't there just to retain their titles. They were there to destroy the Lucha Brothers, like to the point where they literally destroyed their masks. They didn't just try and take their mask off their face, they tore them open. Like, they were literally there to destroy them. At one point they ended up with a shoe with thumbtacks all over the bottom of it. Oh, pointy. And that Hogan stash on the Young Bucks. What the? Like the full beard with the Hogan stash.
Yeah, no, like it's beautiful. So like the,
Gorgeous, but my God.
having, because I predicted that the Lucha Brothers were going to win, not based on any fact, based solely on that's what I wanted to see. In my
Yeah.
heart, I was like, I want the Lucha Brothers to win,
Yeah.
because I've been chatting, I've been thinking about like what the future holds with the tag team titles. And to me, you look at the Elite, and you see like it's a stable with already t tag teams in it, right? So, and like we're seeing, the loss of the Impact title to Christian, we're seeing some of the shine come off of Kenny. And I'm not going to say we're going to see a turn like them drop it completely recently and very, very soon. This is a
Yeah.
beautiful slow burn that is AEW.
Yeah.
But part of me sees in the future that, the Young Bucks are like, well, we don't have a title. And then, the Good Brothers are like, but we do. So why are you in the Elite? Like, what are you bringing that we aren't bringing as a tag team? Right? So in time, I would potentially see some Bucks versus Good Brothers. Like
Yeah.
after a long sort of
Oh,
internal
yeah.
feud.
A simmer,
It just
yeah.
like sort of simmer as they get on each other's,
Yeah, very low
nerves and
simmer.
shit. And then with
Yeah.
the added pressure of Kenny slowly losing his belts
Yeah.
as well. Because
Cracks in the
I do
elite.
think he'll start losing a couple of them and then it will end with Hangman taking it, if probably Full Gear. And then they will implode
very
on,
valid.
On themselves. That's
yeah,
what,
very
that,
valid.
That's what I fucking want to see anyway.
Yeah.
So
I think for me it was a case of obviously, and this goes back into all the storytelling we've seen week after week after week, that the Bucks have not won clean. There's always been some sort of interference or something to go along with it. So for me it was a case of I thought, you know, being that they were on their own, the Bucks would drop the ball. They haven't got anyone else to help them. It just shows that they do have a little bit of a weakness there. And I, as predicted, wanted the Lucha Brothers to win, and that's basically exactly how it went. But even though I knew how it was going to go, like, it still surprised me the entire time.
Yeah, so like it's like there were times where I thought the Lucha Brothers had it, which they did. Spoilers, they won. But you know, I'm like, they have it, and then it turned, I'm like, they don't have it. And you know, when you see like Penta with just a mask of blood under his mask, I'm just like, this is, I don't know where you got cut up, but this is fucking fantastic.
Yeah, exactly,
you know,
right.
And then you know, Phoenix is getting pretty beat up. The mask got ripped. And, you know, of course, then the Jordan comes in with the pins. Which is apparently a throwback to a match with Candice LeRae from years ago, which I fucking need to see.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, so, like, tick that box. I got to go find that. But, yeah, also, shout out to Brandon Cutler, right? That perfect fucking yeet of that bag.
Oh, yeah,
exactly
perfect.
Where it was supposed to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, divine.
Yeah, and of course that ended in some additional flurries, which was brilliant, and
it was beautifully told.
It was so good. And like watching the win, and you see the genuine emotion with the Lucha Brothers is just as I said, I'm a very empathetic viewer.
Yes.
And like that just, it hit me. I'm like, fuck me, man.
Yeah.
Like this is insane. Like they go out there and then of course, cause I was watching it with my son. He's off kinder right now because of the world climate as it is. He's like going to kinder.
Yes.
So he's came in with me and we're watching it as you know, and he was running commentary in his version of it in terms of, Who's the man in the red pants? Who has the gold mask? I want the red pants to win, but they're the bad guy.
I want the gold mask.
Oh, I don't want the bad guy to win. I want the good guy. I want the gold mask.
Yeah.
You know? So we're sitting here bullshitting, and like, of course, when they get out of the ring and they hug the family, and then it's like, because Prince is covered in fucking blood, hugs his kids. Kids are now covered in blood. I'm like, I don't know why that makes me feel things. You know?
Yeah, I was feeling things too. I was leaking from the eye sockets.
And they make the way up and they do the big, you know, arms in the air. And
oh, yeah.
They do the scrum afterwards. You just see them talking about how much it means to them. And they said, whether it be one of the things they discussed, like how good the Young Bucks are as people, as competitors, and that whether it be in a year from now, 2 years from now, whenever Tony Khan will let them, they will do a hair versus mask.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah, like, I don't know about you, like, I got instantly drooling.
Definitely.
Because, like, I don't even want to just see the build-up to that moment, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, my God, can you imagine?
Oh, be so fucking good. So
amazing.
Goddamn good. All right, Hannah,
that was a phenomenal. It's definitely one of those pay-per-views that you absolutely have to watch. You have to.
Yeah.
It's a must-see.
Then it was followed up by the Casino Battle Royal. This is for the
Battle Royale
for the women's. So the, you know, what was it, 25? Something
number
like
one contendership for the women's championship.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right. Yeah, so the card set up. Whoever wins gets a shot at the title. It was rad. So this pretty much had everyone that you've ever considered, everyone that you needed. In the AEW roster, women's roster, like, you name it, they're probably there. The only person that wasn't was Julia Hart, who got switched out for Sky Blue, which is a local talent. So like when she came out, everyone just fucking erupted because she's from Chicago and everyone's got boners in Chicago for Chicago people. It was great. So like I had Thunder Rosa predicted to take the win here, mostly because selfishly I want to see Thunder Rosa versus Britt Baker 2 but for a title.
Yeah.
Like after that lights out match where they just beat the piss out of each other and it bled everywhere. Yeah. I'm like, can I get more of that, please?
Yeah, thanks.
And like, seriously, that's selfishly because the story is like right there. Because like that won't happen until Britt is ready to drop the title.
Yeah.
But she's not ready to drop title yet. No, so no, like no. I kind of was ballsy on my call.
But was, yeah, but still, it made sense. Made sense.
Yeah, so you know, everyone sort of came in. Like Jade Cargill came in, which is sort of being strong and just threw like four people over the top. You know, just like hurt yeet, cool. Yeah, hurt yeet, cool. You know, I'm not a big fan of her, but I understand what they're trying to do with her. What I love about this though, and this is what good battle royal storytelling should be, is that everyone, like there were the continuation of stories were there. Everyone had the same objective, but they still were able to continue the stories, the feuds that were going outside of the royal or the royal into it, right? So we're seeing like Anna Jay and Ty Conti teaming up again, but Ty Conti also kicking out Penelope Ford. We see Big Swole Big Swole,
Big Swole,
and like who she's feuding with on Dark. I think it was it Diamante? No, I don't watch Dark.
So, yeah.
Like there's that, and like you know, everyone just jumps at Nyla Rose because you know, she's because
Nyla Rose,
You know, like there's all these little stories within it that really continued.
Everything else,
which I loved.
Yeah, it was really phenomenal. So yeah, they came out in four groups of five, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Obviously that were the decks, so your clubs, your hearts, your spades, your diamonds, with one joker card. So the joker card is a wild card who is the last entrant, and I had no damn idea who that could be. I had no inkling. Up until this day, I had no idea that there were rumors that Ruby Soho was going to be around, and as soon as they started to get down to the countdown for the wild card, the Joker card, everybody just starts chanting, like blowing the roof off Ruby Soho. And out comes, formerly Ruby Riott, Ruby Soho.
Yeah. So like, the rumor mill had been blown up for the last couple of days about it being the return of Ruby Soho. So she had done a bunch of vignettes. The sort of destination blank 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 blank, which but we know the spots for Chicago.
Yeah.
So it all kind of ticked the right boxes, and she like admittedly, she's someone that I've never really got to see do her best work because at WWE I don't think she did.
No.
Like granted, she was part of one of the best stables, women's stables, right? And as I'm right now, I want to see fucking more women's stables at WWE. We're seeing it right now. We're seeing the likes of, you know, Britt with Rebel and Jamie Hayter. We're seeing, you know, people start to pair up, like, as I said, like Anna Jay and Tay Conti. Like, they are starting to create these teams everywhere, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I want to see. Does that mean that, like, there's no chance that the obviously not the Riott squad, because, A, that's not theirs, and I wouldn't want to see that anyway. But she worked great in a faction sense. I would like to see that again.
Definitely.
Also, because she fucking won.
I know.
I want to see her take the title as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the thing that really got me was at the end of it when she won, she looked dead at the ref and she said, "I'm back," and hugged him with such heart and passion. And it was just, I welled up. I was like, holy crap, like this is... This shows me another side to Ruby Soho that makes me more interested in her because of the emotion that's there.
And that's the thing, because like as she says in the scrum as well, she's never held a title on TV. So she's held titles in, she held titles in the indies, but her time in WWE never had one. Like her and you know Sarah Logan and Liv Morgan should.
Yes.
Have held the women's tag titles at WWE. It's
they should
actual
have,
bullshit that they never did. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, straight bullshit. So it makes me so happy, like, to the idea of, like, she's going to come here and do that. Like, granted, Liv is still over there, and we don't, who knows whatever she'll do. But, like, Sarah Logan's off, you know, having babies and being an anti-vaxxer or something. So, you know, whatever she decides to do, I don't care anymore. You know, but it's cool. It's so cool to have her here.
Yeah, hell yeah.
You know, and you can sort of see that you know, it's so cool to see, like, that Tony Khan's a bit of a mark for Ruby Soho as well, which is nice.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And I think it's also good to see Ruby getting that notoriety that she truly deserves. Mm. Yeah, yeah. It's the reaction that she truly deserves.
Now, in the chat, Spire, Willow, which is Jacob, they, so that's why I think the Iconics are going to impact once they start wrestling again. Because that was on the cards as well. Like, maybe the Inspiration, so previously they're called the Inspiration, yep. Previously the Iconics, are back in the game. So there was thoughts that maybe they would rock up here. I think they will. I don't think they'll go to Impact. So from the conversations that I've had with people in the know, apparently the Impact, the women's division Impact is pretty fine. Like, they don't need it over there. AEW needs
a bit
them.
More oomph. Yeah.
Like, the women's roster is also very good and is growing and it is better. But one of them, I can't remember their shoot names. I can't remember their old names from WWE.
Cassie and Jess.
Yeah, so yeah. I do forget which is which, but
Cassie is Peyton and Jess is Beautiful.
There Billy. You go. So Cassie is obviously married to Sean Spears.
Yes.
It would make sense for them to go there. However, like I think that roster needs them.
Yeah,
because
for sure.
It adds a big hunk of personality to it. It adds this great energy. It's like they are marketable as fuck. And look,
and a proper tag team, not just a couple of chicks thrown together, which seems to be their tag division.
Exactly.
At the moment.
And like, don't get me wrong, that's how tag teams are formed. Tag teams are formed by throwing them together. And like, what the ones they've thrown together so far do feel genuine enough. You know what I mean, like, you know, WWE, it's like you and you and whatever, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes they have wins, like with, you know, RK-Bro or whatever, but 9 times out of 10, yeah. Just kind of...
Yeah.
We're here, you know, maybe they want a women's tag team title.
Yeah.
Who says, you know, like, it's not going to happen tomorrow, but maybe they want it. Maybe they want it.
But that could be, that could be the trajectory they're going.
Yeah, look, they don't need 1,000 belts, but maybe they do. Like, they had a women's tag tournament recently, you know, semi-recently. So they're not against doing it, right?
Yeah, they must be. Yeah, must be teasing something. Yeah.
Now, additionally, on a complete side note, by the way, I would still argue that AEW needs to start doing no gender wrestling. That's what I fucking want to see. Because as these stables grow, especially with the introduction of Adam Cole, baby, like, does that mean Britt Baker's going to kick to the Elite somehow?
That's what I was thinking.
Like, will that make her the first female member of the Elite? Then they create this dope stable. And then that allows for, like, you know, when you look over other teams, like the Butcher, the Blade, and the Bunny, like, they're a stable of men and women, you know, or you look over all these different places.
Yeah.
And these mixed, you know, mixed gendered stables. I want to see that shit.
Yeah, hell yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I said, I have been, and then of course the Dark Order have Anna Jay as well. There's another one as well. Like I have been spoiled by local independent wrestling, by our friends at DMDU, about how fucking awesome no gender wrestling can be.
Oh yeah.
And for me, that's storytelling. Like, you complete, as I've said it here on the show before when we reviewed their shows, it opens the door to incredible stories. It opens, like when it has to be this one lane, you're restricted. If you open that lane up, it can be anywhere.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be for belts. It can just be added to the story.
Yeah.
Like, mind you, like, I want to see fucking anyone punch anyone. You know what I mean? Like, I said, and a lot of them have come up on the indies. Like, there are matches that I've seen recently, you know, Statlander versus Orange Cassidy on the indies, and it was awesome. I've seen MJF versus, she used to wear the big bow, and then she left, and now she's back.
Smiley Kylie?
Kylie Rae. You know what I mean? Like, that's good wrestling. As Kit in the chat says, that's good wrestling. That's what I fucking want to see.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, and Impact just had Chelsea Green in a tag match against two dudes. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good shit.
Yeah, that's where it's at.
So that's what I would like to see down the line, but they're going to take a little while to get there. If this is a stepping stone to get there, fantastic. Right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Hell fantastic. Yeah. For sure.
But yeah, so cool to see Ruby Soho get the win there. Next up, yeah. MJF versus Chris Jericho in a match that should have, like, the stipulation was that if Chris Jericho lost, he must retire from in-ring wrestling at AEW.
I was convinced that this was the downfall of the greatest. Especially when the first thing that happened, first entrance, you see the old Y2J countdown happening, you hear the warm, and you're expecting this whole, like, Y2J blow up, like, this is his last hurrah, and fucking MJF comes out, and we were all like, perfect. It was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. That's what I love about Chef's Kiss for MJF. Absolutely perfect. And Chris Jericho came out to his fuzzy rhythm guitarist playing Judas while the crowd sung it. So it was like fully like acoustic, a cappella, whatever you want to call it. Like just the one guitar and the entire crowd singing Judas.
Stripped down, I think the word's looking for, yeah.
Yeah, stripped down, yeah, with really poor timing. It was great.
Oh, yeah. So that was the thing. So like the MJF's entrance, beautiful.
Yeah.
Because I remember, because you were on your phone, I was like, Jem.
And I heard the whoop, and I was like, what?
You know, and then it came up with, you know, Jericho's last match, and I went, huh? And then, and then MJF came out, dressed like fucking Ric Flair. It was amazing.
It was so good.
I think.
MJF was Ric Flair for the evening. It was great.
He is one of the best heels
ever. Yeah.
And for that reason alone, actually, I'll get into that in a second. So Chris Jericho came out, rhythm guitarist playing. I have some issues with that. A, the audio levels were all kinds of fucked. Additionally, what needed to happen was started it and then got to that beat, you know.
And the then chorus.
Then it swells in.
Yeah.
You know, and then, like, that's when the house music should have kicked in and then everyone just got fucked. Like, enough to get it going and then to swell it up to really get that feel.
Yeah, you couldn't really hear it properly.
Swell it up, then swell it back down at the end so the crowd can sing. Mm. That's what should have... probably would have been a better way to go about it.
Yeah.
That's fine. Yeah, as it was good enough. But yes.
I was hoping that it was going to be a full band live performance, and that was kind of disappointing that it wasn't.
So, I was similar to yourself. I was going in thinking, this is it. This is it. Yeah. Jericho has been wrestling for 30 years. He just celebrated 30 years. Fucking Taker went out after 30 years.
Yeah.
It's against one of the biggest heels in the business.
Mm-hmm.
The nuclear level heat that Jericho could give MJF here.
Oh, yeah.
He's about to go on tour for Fozzy. He's got himself a commentary gig on Rampage.
Uh-huh.
This seems transitional to me.
Yeah.
And then on top of that as well, like, he was brought in 2 and a bit years ago as the big face, not a face and heel, but like a face, the marketable face of AEW.
Yeah, exactly right. The face of the company.
He came in with the idea of let's use him to bring all the people over to AEW, have him be the first champion, have him be out there holding the title, being the company, like the face of the company, the marketing face of AEW, because everyone fucking knows Jericho.
Yeah. Yeah, so exactly having right.
Him rock that title, he looks bad as fuck.
It's a well-established brand already, yeah.
Exactly, right? And, like, they don't need that anymore. No. What Jericho was brought in for is no longer needed. Not that Jericho's not needed anymore.
He's done his job successfully.
Exactly. He delivered exactly what he needed to do. And to me, this felt like just the right time. Everything lined up nicely.
Mm.
It's a great end of a feud against one of the best heels in the business.
Oh,
MJF could run this into the ground for the fucking every day. The day that he took out the GOAT. Mm-hmm. The day that he took out Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
And that would propel him into wherever he needed to go.
Yeah.
It didn't go that way.
No.
It almost did,
but shockingly, so what happened was Y2J got pinned by MJF. I can't remember how it happened, but just as the three count was to be hit, Jericho got his foot up. Aubrey didn't see it, so she's counted the 1, 2, 3, given MJF the win. Another referee comes up to the ring and says, nah, 100% that foot was up there before you hit three. Look, it's still there. She looks over. She's like, well, what do we do when they have to restart the match? Which I was not expecting.
See, this was interesting because one of the things that we were discussing on Radio Watson was how I thought this was a cool idea because I am so sick of refs just being dumb or being you know a small gust of wind, they go ah! and they just fall over and die. Where to have them actually have, like, because look, AEW do play a little bit loose with their ref rules, especially when it comes to like fucking title matches or tag team rules. Like, I don't know who's legal. Like, I don't fucking know. Even I
Someone.
don't know. I'm the ref. So that they do play loose with those rules. So it's interesting to create this here. And I do argue there is some precedence here that it means that only another referee. Because this is something I didn't realize either. Only another referee can point out another referee's mistakes. The crowd can see someone get hit with a chair, but because when they turn around, there's no one there. If there was a ref there, went hit by a chair. Because, like, the Good Brothers
Because
come.
it's an official, it's an
Yeah,
official.
so the Good Brothers come out. Jake Hager comes out to, like, get in the beef as well. Not Good Brothers. No, Wardlow. My bad.
Yeah,
Wardlow
Wardlow,
comes
yeah.
out. Hager comes out. They boost. And the entire reason to that was to bring that extra ref out. So that's something I didn't realize as well. That was something that was
It
pointed
was,
out
I
to
didn't
me.
think of that either until you mentioned it now. Perfectly
Oh, it wasn't
planned.
my idea. Like, someone else pointed out to me, and I went, that's fucking
That's genius.
smart. Like, that's real smart. Because how else do you explain another ref on the outside?
Exactly right.
So it was cool. But, so it got the win, and then they reset it, and then, whatever. Jericho gets the win.
Oh yeah, MJF got absolutely pissed at Aubrey and started shoving her around, so Aubrey was shoving back, which was beautiful. That's what I love about Aubrey is like they even give story to their referees. Like we know that like Aubrey is a badass who makes mistakes and won't bow down to it. It's just like, yep, my bad, let's restart this match, and like we'll take the heat for it and that sort of stuff. Like I love that even the referees have stories.
I believe the referee has character. Yeah, I mean, and
Yeah,
that's
exactly right.
as friends of referees, like I love that they're involved in the story. Like, they're not
Hell
just there to
yeah.
be an officiator. They're there to add to it. Like, just those little things. And Aubrey herself is a character. And the other people, AEW, there's not as many that are like involved as she is. But I would like to see more of that. But yeah, look, I understand Jericho won. He's still going to go away for Fozzy because they're about to tour. But we won't see him for a little while. I'm looking a
But I
little.
think that'll be good. It'll be a palate cleanser.
Yeah, I'm a little bummed. I say that not in like that I wanted to see him retire. I think it just kind of hit every possible good note. Does that make sense?
I feel like there's something bigger in store for him leaving, and I'm excited to see how long this journey takes and where it takes me.
Yeah, because he'll go away, and maybe maybe Jericho will come back, and we'll
Like
see.
I said, it'll be like a palate cleanser type thing. Like, go away. We'll start forgetting about Y2J. Like, maybe he has called it quits, and then all of a sudden he'll pop back up and it'll pop like hell, and it'll be amazing.
Well, because like for me, it also like if it meant if he's done, then that leaves someone else to step up as the leader of the Inner Circle, maybe Sammy Guevara, right? Especially after the back of the Trials of Jericho, like he didn't just go out in one match. He went out in like a big string of them. You know what I mean? It was cool. But next up was the return of CM Punk in a match against Darby Allin.
I mean, competitor wise, I would have preferred somebody else just because, Darby Allin's a not so great person. But that aside, as far as stylistically, this was an amazing pair up, especially because, Darby's very fast. Darby's very, just very, very good on the cardio, very speedy, very high fly, very, all that sort of stuff, which Punk used to be good at, but it's been 7 years. So I was like, how much ring rust is Punk gonna have? How is he gonna take to the young guns and that sort of stuff? And he held up so friggin' well. I think the most controversial thing about the entire match was that he was wearing full length pants instead of just his little shorts. That was the most controversial part about the match. But other than that, the match itself was absolutely phenomenal. To see, CM Punk get put on the spot like that by somebody as fast and as strong and as agile as Darby Allin, it was phenomenal. It was so phenomenal to see how well Punk can still do. And it was nostalgic too. It took me back to days when I was much younger and I was, a giddy kid watching wrestling again. It was amazing.
Yeah, so like that's the big thing, because I never watched Punk. I never saw him back in the day because I've only been wrestling the last couple of years. So for me, it was like, I don't know what to expect. Expectations were certainly high because everyone has just been like hard damp.
Hyper,
Yeah, hard damp in the front
hyper.
area for Punk's return.
Yeah.
And when it started off kind of slow, I was like, oh, okay, well, all right, well, let's see where this goes. I'm not feeling the intensity right now, but that's all right, we'll see. And then very quickly I came to realize, like, okay, I see where they're going with this. So for Punk, it was about keeping Darby down and slow, because there were times where when the upper hand slipped and Darby starts being the frantic wrestler that he is, right? Intensity, speed, like just launching himself into shit at shit, so. And there was any opportunity that he can, it was like, no, and then he brings it back down, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I love to see in sort of that. As I said, 3 years ago, I wouldn't have picked that up. That's something
Yeah.
that only took 3 years of watching wrestling to understand that storytelling aspect, right? So one of the other reasons that, we talked about why I decided WWE, AEW, that's why.
Yeah.
So that was great. Watching that, taking that, enjoying that, loving
Yeah.
it. Then, yes, it was great. And then that GTS that had Darby fall out of the ring,
Yeah.
fantastic.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Additionally, there was that role, like the I was really worried at one moment. So over at the competitor, the amount of matches that end in a stinky roll up or a crucifix pin are uncomfortably high.
Yeah.
So when there was a roll up that kicked in, I went, ah, boo, boo. I don't want Darby. Like I said, there is no way that Punk was going to lose in Chicago, because that would be such a, Vince decision, and
Yeah, that's
that
true.
wouldn't happen here.
Yeah.
So when it got in that sneak in that roll up, I was like, oh, don't you fucking dare! And then it rolled into the pickup for the GTS, and then bam, dropped him. One, two, three.
Oh, so good.
And then, of course, then Sting came down into the ring. He and Punk shook hands. Darby got up, went out of his way to climb up on the ropes, get up by himself, and shake the hands. Because as I think it was you made the joke when watching it, like it's him and his two dads. Like Dar, like
Oh, yeah.
I said, even though as you met, as said, like Darby personally has issues and things that we are both uncomfortable with.
Yeah.
However, in this moment, like, or
Sting and Punk are like his
you
parents.
see three generations of wrestler in the one ring.
Yeah, oh
You see
yeah.
Sting, Punk, Darby. You see
Yeah.
Darby and his influences, these very clear two influences.
Oh yeah, exactly
And
right.
like, that's you, like, to watch that and to see that, because like you kind of don't, you sort of see how the history shapes the new,
Yeah.
which is very, very cool.
Yeah, exactly right. It was really cool. It was a really good finish. It was an amazing damn match, and it was one hell of a way for CM Punk to come back to in-ring
Very much
competition.
so. So Kit 108 in the chat adds, it was nice to see Punk taking the time to put over the younger talent too. Letting
Yeah.
Darby have some light before celebrating for himself. Big time, because Darby
Yeah.
did come out looking really good.
Oh yeah, hell
You know
yeah.
what I mean? It wasn't if he just got like beaten by Punk. Like
Nah, yeah.
it was a
Again,
good.
another one of those finishes where it's like, he came out a good loser.
Yeah. So next up was something that I was baffled was this late in the card, but then it also makes sense. The match that was supposed to be a palate cleanser, to, you know, because everyone would have just been straight exhausted from Punk and Darby. So they had the Paul White, previously Big Show, versus QT Marshall. Match went for about three minutes, 10 seconds or something.
Yeah, super short.
It pretty much ended with just a big hoot, eating choke slam, done.
Yeah.
Exactly as expected.
But it was a perfect palate cleanser.
It was.
It was a perfect, like, they knew that that was their spot, and they made that spot perfect for what it was. It really was. Like, even though it was the palate cleanser, like, it really did, like, it didn't make me bored. It made me calm and ready for what was going to happen next.
Yeah, so having a nice drink, and then yeah. you have a little bit of a wafer to, you know, refresh the, you know, yeah, really yeah. bland to refresh the palate. So then when you come yeah. to the end, you go, that's fucking damn good main event.
Yeah, exactly right. Savoring it.
Speaking of main event, Kenny Omega versus Christian Cage for the AEW World Championship.
This was something else.
Yeah. So, once again, the long as I've been watching, Christian Cage has not been around. He was off super injured. Something I also forgot while watching this. That he couldn't wrestle for a while because he was injured. Because I'm watching him just getting dropped on his head and neck constantly.
Yeah.
So I straight forgot that he had been injured. You know, and then Kenny Omega I've watched intently over the last 2 years of Dynamite.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, excuse me. Like, it was great.
Yeah.
So I honestly really had no expectation around Cage's involvement here. I had a feeling Cage could go, but I didn't know how well he could go. If that makes sense.
Especially with his history recently. But in saying that, like he at the time was currently undefeated in AEW.
He was, and having won the, you know, because we kind of did see this match on Rampage when he won the Impact title, but they really took it and added more to it and went up a bit oomph with it, which I really like as well. So it wasn't as if it wasn't a repeat of that same match. They did take it to different places.
It was very obvious the stakes were higher in this match.
Yeah. And then, of course, Don Callis was ringside dressed like a fucking labia. they're pulling tables out, and, you know, and like, which once again, the blurred lines of what, the, you know, because, you know, what I appreciate is commentary like, well, there's no way they're going to call a DQ match on a fucking world title. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so I understand, like, they are hard. They are a bit loose when it comes to those rules. Like, that should be a DQ. But, you know, Kenny didn't set it up. He did set up. He didn't see it. Like, Don Carlos was setting it up with him, whatever, right?
Yeah,
and there was then what essentially happened was a huge spear from the apron onto the table. The way that Christian Cage landed on it, the leg just broke.
Leg and hipped it.
Right in, like, the rib cage. That looked exceptionally painful.
Oh, excruciating. Yeah, he welted up straight away, bright red. Ugh.
Like, it was just that, like, right in that section between your hip and your rib cage is like that real soft, squishy part.
Yeah.
Well, for me, it's soft and squishy. For Christian Cage, I'm sure it's all hard and wonderful.
It's one way to describe it.
Yeah, sure is. But it did end with Christian Cage taking the L.
Yes.
Kenny Omega retaining, as to be expected, but it certainly wasn't bad. It was brilliant.
No, like brilliant.
And this is where, like I said, this is where it gets one of the best parts, right? So we're watching this, hearing the rumors, Bryan Danielson was going to come back. But like, where is he going to come out? Like, I kind of thought he would have come out earlier. So I'm like, well, maybe they're not doing the big reveal. Maybe they are holding it to New York as they originally planned.
Yeah.
So then Kenny gets up, grabs the mic, starts cutting this promo. And once again, everyone that's watching this knows this. I'm just retelling it for the sake of fun storytelling.
Yeah.
You know, he gets in the ring and he grabs the mic and he's like, as I said, you know, we're hearing the best in the world that, best in the world this, best in the world that. No one is on my level. Anyone that is on my level isn't here. They are already retired or they are dead. Cut to black. Now, my brain, because once again, not having watched any like BTE stuff prior to that, I was aware of the Adam Cole, dying thing. And we know that, like, he's technically a was a free agent because he's got a handshake agreement with WWE. But the rumor mill was so blurred on whether he was staying or going. But the second that music kicked in, holy fuck, did all of us in that Discord call just explode.
Lost it. It absolutely was so lost it.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, the music slaps. I've been listening to it all day. Like, it's been in, it's living rent-free in my head. You know, it is reminiscent of his Undisputed Era.
Mm-hmm.
Music, but it's also got that cool Rage Against the Machine energy, which the Undisputed mm-hmm. Era theme has, you know. So like it hit all those boxes. He came out, you know, he's looking great.
I was so confused because I was like, oh my god, this is gonna go anyway. Like he could be here for any number of reasons. Because I wasn't expecting. I was expecting someone like you know Daniel Bryan to come out because they were the like Kenny's little crew had decided to start attacking like. Who was out there? There
Christian,
was
Christian,
Lucha Brothers, Jungle Boy, the best friends. I was like, this can go. Yeah, I was like, oh crap, this is going to go anyway. Like, and when Adam Cole came out, I was like, well, interesting. Like, first of all, he got the biggest eruption with his
Man, I've watched it a handful of times because
huge.
That swell. And like that just, you know, hearing that is just unmeasured.
Absolutely something else.
So what I love about, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no. It was just absolutely phenomenal. And then to see him sort of come face to face with Kenny Omega, Kenny looking shocked as hell, to just turn around and super kicks Jungle Boy. And I was like, oh no. This makes so much sense now.
It was great because, like, you know, I was talking about in Radio Watson as well. Like, we were all like, we love Jungle Boy. We're all like, yeah, fuck you, Jungle Boy. Yeah, woo, Adam Cole, baby. And it's like, we all had a turn.
Yeah.
Which was great. Yeah. So, what they've done is, they've brought that back. They had, like, they got the Elite. They had that great moment of him going, and then getting smooched in all different directions.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
It was so good to see them because, like, in addition to that, like he comes out wearing gold, white, and black Jordans.
So that should have been
a giveaway because their love for Jordans at the moment, you know. And he's like, shout out because he's still wearing the black, you know, the same coloring as AEW, same as his, you know, NXT stuff. So like the imagery is lovely.
T-shirt says All Elite, baby.
I'm All Elite, baby. Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah, I want that shirt, and I'm gonna buy it.
Yeah,
I'll probably buy it after this. I did buy more shirts when the sale was on because of course this came up after the sale.
Of course,
because you know I have an issue. I have a problem.
You have a hobby.
There's my original reasoning of I've lost a stack of weight. I need new shirts.
Yeah,
can only apply for so long.
You say that.
So you're saying that I should buy an Adam Cole shirt?
I think you should. Sweet. I think you're All Elite enough to be All Elite, baby.
I think I am. But your buddy does bring up a good point because they give him the mic and he goes, you know, it is unquestionable that the Elite is the greatest faction in wrestling history. Buddy in the chat goes, what would it like? So I just wish he said it's undisputed that Elite.
Nail in the coffin.
And then, of course, you know, Kenny goes, well, you know, we left everyone happy on a happy note. You know, I bid you adieu, smooch. And then Flight of the Valkyries, Daniel Bryan comes out. Bryan Danielson. That's going to take a while for me to break. It's all remixed.
The American Dragon, Bryan Danielson.
He's looking so.
He looks so much happier. He looks so much better. I was watching a thing too backstage where, you know, you could see the happiness in his face and Tony Khan got a laugh out of it as well. They were backstage doing their little press conference thing. And, Bryan Danielson goes, Punk's here like, oh, I can't wait to like mentor and like hang out and like put up these new guys. And I'm just like, huh, I can't wait to kick their asses.
I'm here to kick their fucking heads in. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
Like,
so good.
but what I loved is, Bryan came in, slid in the ring, and like they all started splitting off. And then
oh, yeah, everybody
they,
ran.
Like, the amount of fucking kicks that one of the Jacksons, I think it might have been Nick. Like,
yeah.
They had such an intensity that I
oh,
never saw at
yeah.
WWE.
Yeah,
kicks or whatever, they just didn't hit
oh,
as
yeah.
hard.
Where and the here, intensity for Adam Cole, the crowd gave it to Bryan Danielson as well. Yeah. Like, it's just one after the other, like endless pops. It was just so good.
Yeah. And then, of course, it ends with them separated and then, the Elite heading up the ramp, the others in the middle, and then end of credits. And that was AEW's All Out.
Amazing. Honestly, I can honestly say this was one of the best pay-per-views I have ever watched. It was amazing.
I completely agree. This is by far... unquestionably, it is undisputed, buddy.
Undisputed.
That this is the best pay-per-view that AEW have ever done.
Mm-hmm.
To, like the way, I was, the way I see this, right? This, I think we, like I said, once again, being the big fucking emotional mess that I am.
Mm-hmm.
This is a moment in time.
Yeah.
Like this is a... everything's a moment in time, but this is a pivotal transition in the
yeah.
history of AEW,
in the history of wrestling
in
altogether.
The history of wrestling, right? This is the moment where they didn't just become legitimate competition; they may be on the like they are
They've
on
set the,
the
bar.
They have set the bar.
They've
like
set
so,
the bar.
If WWE up until this point had not considered them as correctly. Direct competition, they fucking better now because I'm sorry, WWE are too big to fail in a number of ways. Like they are a multi-bajillion-dollar company, and it's going to take a lot for them to fall. However, the general populace, the average wrestling fan, this is where it's at.
Yeah,
that moment has happened. Like once again, I having not watched the Monday Night Wars when Raw versus WWE versus WWE
yeah.
sorry, versus WCW, like when
yeah.
this is a reflection of that, I don't know. But like
I think,
yeah, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I think for me, it definitely you get the idea of it from that, like that's whole thing. But for me, it feels more like with AEW, instead of being competitive with it and having like the Monday Night Wars. They're embracing, they're like, instead of being my competition, be my ally, which gives them so much more expanse with like TNA and Japan and New Japan and things like that. It really opens them up to not only a wealth of talent, but so many long-term opportunities instead of just digging themselves their little hole with their franchise,
And that's what Kit in the chat says. They've added there is no competition because it's a whole other league. And it totally is. And you said the fact they're willing to open that forbidden door, as they call it, to allow these other companies to come together, because rather than bring everybody else down, it's bring everybody up. Let's make like, I wasn't watching wrestling in the early 2000s when the Attitude Era, when it was the fucking, it was a phenomenon.
Oh yeah. Huge.
I've never seen it. As far like as long as I've been aware of wrestling or watch wrestling, like it has been something that most people have been afraid to say they love.
Yeah.
Right?
PG era.
But now it feels like it's becoming that time where wrestling is just seeping into everything. Like I got a message
yeah.
from Max, the co-host of the PlayStation podcast that we do. He's like, I'm watching this stream that I do, and fucking Kip Sabian rocked up. Why the fuck are your wrestlers everywhere? Yeah, man, like that moment is happening, and I think this could be this could be the beginning of that cultural shift again.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, as I said, they in terms of that war or the Wednesday night war or whatever, that war is done. Mm. That war has been very much won.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
right.
So much so that WWE almost just shot themselves in the face with the rebranding.
I know.
They're like, well, we can't beat them, so let's just fucking kill it, I guess.
Yeah, if we can't beat them, be them.
Yeah, if we can't beat them, drown it. Like that's kind of what their plan has been.
Yeah.
And like I look at this and I'm like, yeah, this is that moment, and I'm so glad that I'm here for this. Like, I was there on the first show. I was there. I didn't watch All In, obviously, because I didn't know about it at the time. But I was there for, you know, First Double or Nothing. Like, I've been here near on every step of the way. And I've been so happy that I've just got to be part of history. I know that seems really arbitrary for people that are just watching a show, but I don't know. It means something to me. Like, and you're one of those things, because like, I don't see myself not watching wrestling anytime soon. Like, so my son will be 15, let's say. He's 4 now. I think AEW's got some life in him. Will they make it another 11 years? Possibly.
Yeah.
And I imagine me in that moment, I'm like, I was there when they started. I was there where we're at now. This is what we're seeing. You know what I mean? Like, that is huge. Yeah. And I'll be like, you were watching it with me. You won't remember because you were a baby, but you were there. It was you and I watching it together. And then, I was there when the fucking tides turned.
Yeah.
When they took down That's Goliath. Huge.
Yeah. And not just that, it's super, super inspirational as well, to the point where I'm so hyped about wrestling again that if you haven't noticed, if you haven't noticed, I have joined the Relentless School of Pro Wrestling, and I am going to be training to be a wrestler.
Which is amazing, because that's something that you've wanted to do for absolute ever.
Mm-hmm. And it's better late than never, so I am effing hyped.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so inspired for it now, but I'm so in love and I'm so passionate about it again. And it just seems like the perfect timing to throw myself into it.
It's amazing. As I said, admittedly, I'm jealous as fuck. Like, and I could come join the party too, but like, you know, unlike you, like, you know, we've been bullshitting. You're like, I've got it sussed out. This is my character. This is what I'm going to do. This is how it's going to work, you know. And I'm like, that's fucking amazing. How do you just know that shit? Well, like, my goal would be to go do it just for a fitness perspective. Like, you know, as I've talked about, part of my weight loss goal was originally to go to a different wrestling academy because that's the only one I knew of. But, like, now that I know Relentless exists, and now I know that you're there, I got once this world fixes itself up a little bit and I can go, I want to get there and I want to go with you and I want to train with you.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I can make you take a bump.
That's it. Like,
you take a bump from me.
That would be amazing. You know how much I would love to fucking take a hit from you?
Oh, that would be awesome. Yeah, I'm so down.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't need to go be in a ring one day. I don't need to be a character. I don't need to go out there. I just want to see whether I can do it.
You just want to get your ass kicked by one of your best mates.
Oh, wear that as a badge of fucking honor. You know what I mean? You know, in years from now, when you're on the indies, I'm like, she kicked my ass once. See the gem? Yeah, she beat the shit out of me. It was awesome.
Yeah, she kicked him.
You know. That's it.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I am so incredibly
And if you excited. Are interested, definitely get in contact with the Relentless School of Pro Wrestling. Jake, Josh, and Phil are phenomenal. They know, like, nothing is taboo. They will give you everything from a training routine to a dietary routine. They are phenomenal. And if you are interested in getting into that, I definitely very highly recommend that.
Yeah. Jim.
Jim the Wrestler.
What next fucking exciting time.
I
know. Well, there we go.
That's it.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Just like CM Punk. No one was as excited as everyone was. No one's going to be fucking screaming the Young and the Wrestlers into a fucking sold out arena. Like, we're just very happy that like a handful of people were like, sweet, and then came back.
Yeah. We're very, very happy to be elite.
Yeah, once again, we've wanted to be all elite for a while. We just didn't know how to make it happen because of the structure of the show that we were doing before, and then we're like, fuck that structure, let's have fun. And that's what tonight has been. Tonight has been fun again.
It has. It really has.
You know, just getting fucking marking out, just
reliving those feelings, getting all that giddiness again. And
yeah, I was buzzing all day. I overbuzzed so hard. I took a fucking nap.
Yes,
I took an accidental nap on the couch, and then I stood up And then I got hyped again because I remember what I saw. And then I watched it again. I watched like some of the clips again. I'm like, woo! And then I was instantly back into it again.
Like, oh yeah, it was so good. It's one of those ones you'll always go back and rewatch too.
Yeah. Excuse me, I just fucking choke on my own spit.
Oh no.
That has been the Young and the Wrestlers AEW All Out review, chat, discussion, whatever the fuck it wants to be.
Hyper.
This show will come at you every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. on your podcast services, 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you want to join that wrestling conversation, you can. Twitter, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, all those links are in the down below area. Our Twitter handles are above our heads. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this wrestling pod. If you are on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you are on YouTube, like, subscribe, leave a comment below. We endeavor to answer every single comment. If you want to support us financially, you can. Patreon.com/thepopculturist, as well as our merchandise thepopculturist.com/shop, where you buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it, including the brand new redesigned Young and the Wrestlers logo. It is on shit. You can buy it, put it on yourself. It's cool stuff. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
And I'm Jeff.
We'll see you then.
Bye.